So, my naam is Jean-Baptiste, dat betekent John the Baptist, ne? En my van is Lucas, so dis helemaal. So as ek nou fancy klink, dan sê ek, ek is Jean-Baptiste Lagoa. Dis lekker om hier by julle te kuier, is dit nie absoluut net amazing nie. So julle, die woordigheid van die Here is hier, sê die woord nie, dat waar 2 of 3 by mekaar is, daar sal ek wees nie. Can you imagine? Die arme kerke wat 3000, 5000 mense het, wat dink daar is meer van God daar. Jesus het 12 gehad en dieselfde God was daar. So dis altyd vir my lekker om hier by julle te kuier. Julle ontvanklikheid, julle harte, is net vir my so amazing. En voordat ek bid, wil ek net gou vertel, ons is moet 'n spoed by die huis weg vir oggend. Ons bly daar op die stokkies draai pad, ander kant van 'n byl. So dis so 3 dae te perd. En toe ek hier stop, toe besef ek my laptop waarop my hele preek is, lê by die huis. So my vrou het net gedrop off and go, en sy het dit vir my gemail, intussen het ek het daarom op 'n baie klein skermpie, maar sy kom nou met die big screen, alright, so, alles wat julle nou hoor, gaan julle nou groter hoor, alright. Kom ons bid. Lord, what a privilege this morning to gather, and as your words say, where 2 or 3 gathers, there, your fullness will be. Here, en is so lekker om u te hoor en sien en voel beweeg tussen mense. Dit is so lekker om tussen mense te kom wat ontvanklike hart het. Here, ons het vanoggend vroeg al gebid en gesê, Here, sit 'n laar van engele reg rondom hierdie plek en behoor en onderdeur. Here, en soos Kobus vanmôre gesê het, daai 8000 beloftes van u, gee dit ons nou so 'n handjievol van hulle kan grab vandag en dat dit deel kan word van my lewe vandag. Here, dankie vir u teenwoordigheid, dankie vir u seën. In Jesus' name. And we all say, Amen. So I'm going to speak to you about power of prayer. Eindelijk moes ek gesê, prayer is powerful. Want ek dink hier daar is regtig gebede wat nie powerful is. Alle gebede is powerful. Maar vandag is dit the power of prayer. Nou die eerste file wat ek trek altyd as ons praat oor prayer, dink ek aan 'n klompie jare terug, het ek so 'n klomp tieners gevat, ek so lekker om al die tieners hier te sien vanmôre, dis amazing, amazing, amazing. Julle weet dis natuurlik hoekom Abraham sy seun kon offer, want hy was 'n tiener, maar ons is baie lief vir julle, julle is amazing. So, 'n klompie jare terug vatte ek en my vrou 'n klomp tieners daar na die Pioneerhuis toe vir 'n outreach. Ek het eintlik gegaan om die oorlogstories te hoor van die ou homies en tannies. So we went there and we were praying for the older people. And at a stage, my wife called me and sy sê, hierdie tannie sê, die pastor moet vir haar bid. Sy kan nie vir haar bid nie. En nou gaan ek nou na die tannietjie toe. En sy is al oor die 80. En sy sê daar, ek sê, tannie, wat bid ek vir jou? En sy sê, nee man, so 5 jaar terug het jy van my gelos. Ek sê, kom ons bid. En ek vlieg daar weg. Ek sê, Here, ons bid nou, laat jy hy oom gehaal waar hy ook al is. Dis nonsens hierdie, bring hom. En terwyl ek dit nou bid, druk my vrou in my hemp in. Ek maak my oop en sê, wys die oom is dood. Now, how do you make a comeback from there? I mean, I thought for a moment, yes, kan ek hierdie gebed nou manoeuvre, dat hy, maar ek het net besef, there's no way that I can make a comeback. So, I had to stop and I said, Tannie, is die oom dood of wat hy het vir Tannie gelos hierso? Sy sê, hy is mors dood, anders het ek hom loop haal, man. And the strange thing is, as I was praying, the tannie was going, Amen, Amen, Amen. Yeah. So guys, prayer is one of those subjects that you don't want to really talk about. Prayer is een van die moeilikste dinge vir ons as kinders van God. Kan ek gou sien hierso, wie van julle is intercessors? Hierso. Okay, hierso handjie vol. Kan ek gou sien wie van julle sukkel om te bid? Kom, wees lekker eerlik. Kan jy handjies is daar, maar dit om lekker, wie van julle sukkel, kom wees eerlik. Alright, ek dink ons allemaal sukkel om te bid. Eerlikwaar, ek dink regtig, it's one of those things that we all battle with. Because it's, and I will explain just now, it's speaking to someone that you cannot see, you cannot always hear, you cannot always feel, you cannot smell always, although you can sometimes. Ek weet nie, die intercessors sal sê, partykeer is daar 'n soet fragrance wanneer God se teenwoordigheid daar is. But you can't feel him and see him and touch him. It's like speaking to yourself in the mirror. Dis moeilik om te bid. Dis regtig moeilik om te bid. En ek trust dat ek vandag vir julle dalk net so 1 of 2 keys gaan gee wat dit vir jou makliker gaan maak to pray. So Ek wil nou gou vir julle voorbeeld nooi. Wie is nou 'n nuwe keisie hier in die kerk? Kom wys gou vir ons. Wie is 'n nuwe keisie so? Kom girls, ouens. Is hier niemand wat 'n nuwe girl het hier? Alraai, kom ons gebruik julle nou maar. Julle is jonk getroud, nê? Nee. Is julle al getroud? Nog nie getroud nie, alraai. Alraai, nou kom ek ge, wat is julle name? OK, julle twee, alraai. So imagine nou hierdie, imagine hierdie, nê? Nee? Jy like hierdie girl, jy ta, jy check haar uit, nê? Nee? En jy, shoo, man, sy let jou hart van geklop. You like the, I mean, she does everything that she's supposed to do. And you check this hunk out, and he tall, dark and handsome, hey, isn't it? OK? En nou nooi jy hom oor na jou huis toe. OK, jy sê, OK, ek wil jou nou beter leer ken, kom oor na my huis toe. Is jou pa hier so? Sê, is jylle die pa ma? OK. So imagine this now. You get at the house, you knock on the door, jy het nou mooi aangetrek, OK, jy gaan vir hierdie girl kuier, jy het 'n blommetjie in die hand, en jy klop aan die deur, en jy, en hier staan die pa, en hy maak die deur op, en hy sê, goeie dag, kom in. And you walk in, and there she sits, and the dad says, OK, you can sit next to her. Right, and you go and you sit next to her. And then the dad says, all right, so welcome here today. I want to tell you how she feels about you. Okay? You make her heart beat faster. Sy maak haar elke keer mooi as jy aankom. Jy's so oulik. Kom ek vertel julle, hoe kan julle julle verhouding laat groei? Hoe kan julle tyd met mekaar spandeer? And he keeps on talking and talking and talking and talking. And, then at the stage, he plucks out a poem. And hy sê, sy het vir jou hierdie poem geskryf. Liewe so en so, jy is die mooiste en die beste en jy laat my hart van geklop en blablabla. Bla, bla. En hy vou die poem op en hy sê, okay, I think it's time to go, it's an hour now. En sy sê, baie dankie, dit was lekker om jou te hê. Next week, same time, same place, and remember to dress nice. Can you just imagine? Can you dink waar gaan hy verhouding heen gaan? Isn't that what we are doing as church? Don't we dress up nice and come to church in the morning? And then listen to a guy there, sometimes he don't have hair, and listen to what he's saying for an hour. And then we sing a poem that someone else wrote to God. And we sing this poem, and then this person speaks to us about God and how he feels about us and how he loves us and hoe spesiaal jy is and hoe kan jy groei in jou verhouding met God. And then just as you start enjoying it, then he says, okay, let's pray. See you next week. Remember, same time, same place, remember to dress nice. En vir baie, baie Christene is dit hoe hulle verhouding met God lyk. Ek ken soveel Christene wat sê, oh, I must just not skip church this Sunday. Hoekom? Because I have to confess my sin. I just shouldn't skip church this Sunday. Hoekom? Want dit is my, dis hoe ek seker maak dat ek 'n Christen is, en dis hoe ek seker maak dat ek hemel toe gaan. 'n Verhouding bestaan nie net uit een keer 'n week mekaar te sien, is ek reg? Daai verhouding gaan nêrens heen nie. Actually, there's a word for that. En hier gaan 'n bietjie seer maak. The word here is religion. But God didn't create the church. He didn't create me and you for religion. He created us for relationship. You know, there's a huge difference between religion and relationship. Religion is wanneer jy gaan omdat jy voel jy moet dit doen omdat jy in die, sodat jy in die hemel kan kom. Relationship is when you do it because you love that person. Now, the strange thing about that is that if that guy dies, he can, you know, and jy doen sy begrafnis, no one knows about his relationship with that girl because he saw her once a week for an hour. Hy het nie oor haar gepraat nie. Hy het nie van hy het nie na haar geruik nie. Hy het nie haar geur aan hom gehad nie. Hy het nie 'n ring gedra sodat mense kan sien hy is in 'n relationship nie. He just went there for an hour once a week. Jy weet, ek het 2 weke terug iemand begrawe. 'n Jong dametjie wat haar eie lewe geneem het. And you know how sad it is when you go to a funeral, when you have to do a funeral and you have to just jy moet hierdie mense nou net positief kry, jy moet hulle opwek, jy moet hulle vir hulle 'n goeie boodskap gee. If you do not know that that person had a relationship. Ons het so baie 007 Christians out there, wat op 'n Sondag kom en ons het môre broer, goeiedag, hallo sister. En as hulle uitkom, dan kla hulle oor die potholes en oor die regering en oor die goeie wat gebeur, die slegte dinge. We should have the fragrance of God in us and on us. And the key is prayer. As ons tyd saam met God spandeer, and prayer is just like anything else, the more you do it, the more you grow into it. Dis moeilik om te bid. Dis regtig. En ons gaan nou praat oor die verskillende vlakke van gebed wat 'n mens kry. But prayer equals talking to God. Prayer equals talking to God. That's communication. God created us from the beginning. It was his heart. In die begin het God vir Adam en Eva gemaak. En God het gegaan na hulle uit by hulle gaan kuier in die tuin. Is dit nie wat die Bybel sê nie? So hy het vir Adam gemaak en hy het vir hom gesê, al hierdie goed wat hier staan, geef hulle name. Al hierdie diere wat ek gemaak het, geef hulle name. En dan kan ek imagine hoe God gaan kuier het en he went to visit en he said, hey, what did you decide to call this long thing with a long neck? Oh God, how's Muggie? En ek dink hulle het gelag daaroor en so dit was die verhouding met die mens wat God wou gehad het. And then it's actually interesting that you, because prayer equals communication with God, the first prayer in the Bible, the first communication with Bible in the Bible with, that is documented in the Bible is when God created Eve. En dit was nie Eva wat gepraat het nie, man, hè. Ons sou dink sy gaan dadelik die shopping list opgooi. The first prayer actually you will find in Genesis 2:23 and it says, the man says, can you imagine the first word that man says? Die eerste documented woord van 'n man, gebed in die Bybel was wat die man gesê het, at last God made me a woman. So hier staan het, hy sê, at last, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. So die eerste gebed in die Bybel was toe Adam vir God gesê het, dankie vir my vrou. Is dit nie amazing nie? So prayer is just talking to God. Communication. Maar ek dink is baie belangrik om gebed te verstaan, moet ons verstaan dat daar's twee realms waarvan in die wêreld, twee realms. Hier is my vrou nou met my beaker screen. Nou gaan julle dit hoor. Dankie my liefie, ek so bly jy is gebore. Okay. Ja, gee vir haar 'n klap hierne. Dankie my skat. So, daar's twee realms waarvan in die wêreld. There is the physical realm, en dis hierdie wat ons sien, wie ek en jy is, wat ons sien en voel en vat. And then there is the spiritual realm. And the guys that went to Angus's crusades, they will understand that Angus, they will also hear that they always say that the spiritual realm is more real to me than the physical realm. Heb jy dit al gehoor, manne? Ja. So he always say that. So dit, vir hom is die spiritual realm meer, so hoe meer tyd jy spandeer met God wat in die spiritual realm is, hoe meer word die spiritual realm vir jou 'n werklikheid. So die physical realm is hierdie goed wat ons alles om ons sien, dankie my skat. Is alles wat ons om ons sien, en waar ons kan vat, ruik en proe waar jou sintuie, al jou sintuie betrokke is. En dan die physical realm, ag die spiritual realm is wat in die gees is. Nou om dit vir julle te verduidelik is dit wie van julle het al geduik onder die see in of van die riviere of wat ook al. Nee, nou 2/3 van die aarde is met water bedek. Kyk tog is die meeste van die mense weet nie van die realm onder die water nie. Is dit nie waar nie? Marlene, jy geduik? Ja. So daar's 'n heeltemal 'n ander nuwe wêreld onder die 2/3 van die aarde for that matter is onder die. That's right. So wanneer jy dan duik, iemand sê vir my nee, maar I went diving and I didn't enjoy it. I said why? He said it's like watching F1 race. I said why? He says green, blue, yellow. I said all right. So there's a new realm. When you dive under the water, there's a new realm opening. There's ander goed wat jy sien, wat jy kan voel aan, wat jy kan aanvat. It's a nuwe wêreld wat vir jou oopgaan as jy duik. Nou, hoe meer jy duik, hoe meer raak dit vir jou 'n werklikheid. En dieselfde met die spiritual. If you spend time with God, then God becomes more real and more real and more real to you. It's the same with the spiritual realm. Is ek net by my regte notas uitkom. So the truth is that the spiritual realm vir die tieners, die geestelike realm was lank voordat die fisiese realm bestaan het, was die geestelike realm. God was vir altyd nog daar. God was van die begin af daar. Wanneer is die begin? Voor die begin. Dit is baie lang terug. God was nog altyd daar. Okay. So wat die Bybel sê is dat God was daar en hy het 3 hoofengele gehad en elkeen van hierdie hoofengele het 'n hele legioen engele onder hulle gehad. 'n Legioen is baie. Okay. En die 3 hoofengele sien ons in die Bybel is Gabriël, Michael en Gabriel, Michael and come on, Lucifer. Dit was die 3 hoofengele wat in die spiritual realm bestaan. En dan weet ons dat Lucifer het gesondig teen God, hy en hy het 1/3 van die engele saam met hom gevat. En dis die demone wat ons vandag van weet. Nee? So vir die goeie nuus is, guys, there's still 2/3 left. God, the word says in Psalms 9:11, it says that I will give my angels charge to protect you. Ek love hy en of alles ek op my motorbike ry. Okay. I will give my angels charge to protect you. So dit was die spiritual realm. Dit is van die begin af daar. En toe het God, terwyl hy in die spiritual realm was, het hy besluit om die physical realm te skep. En dis waar ek en jy gebore in is. Dis hierdie vleisdoppe van ons waar ons is. Maar hoor nou wat sê Jesus hierso. Jesus sê in John 17:16, he says, they do not belong, and he was praying for the disciples. In John 17, Jesus prayed for the disciples, and he was always also praying for me and you. Gaan lees John 17. In John 17, Jesus prayed for me and for you. That's amazing. But he says this about us. He said, they do not belong to this world any more than I do. They do not belong here, God. Paulus skryf, and I say, we are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in a land as our ancestors before us was. So ons is net vir 'n kort oomblikie in hierdie physical realm. Nou die amazing ding is dat if you are born again, so ek het dit nou laas keer vir julle verduidelik en jy wat so jong mannetjie wat daar ergens gesit het wat vir my dit gehelp het met dit. Maar ek gaan dit gou weer vir julle illustreer. Kom ek kry gou julle drietjies wat hier so sit. Kom julle gou hier so. Julle 3 ja. 1, 2, 3. Einschweinrein. OK. So kom ons gebruik hierdie seun. Hy's die grootste hier so, OK? So ek en jy is when God breathed on us. All right? Die oomblik toe God, toe hy gebore is, God breathed on you. So die ouers het gewerk aan die fisiese gedeelte, OK? All right? En die Bybel sê dat voordat jy in jou moeder se skoot gevorm is, het ek jou geken. Ek het jou naam by die naam geroep, jy is myne. So this is what God, what the parents created actually. Okay? And then the Bible says God breathed on Adam. Okay? So the moment God breathes on you, you receive a soul. Okay? So jy is sommer die nee wag, jy is die mooiste. Kom jy gou. Jy is die soul. So hierdie nee, moet nou nie gaan die body Jesus ou. Okay. So ouens, dis verskriklik belangrik om hierdie te verstaan. You cannot understand prayer if you don't understand this. So the moment God breathed on Adam and he said sê gou. All right. 'N bietjie meer oortuiging nodig. Maar the moment that he breathed, he received a soul. Okay. Now the soul is actually you living in you. Okay? Jou vleispaleis gaan waste dit. Sorry girls. Met al die make-up en al die goeie. Die vleispaleis bly op aarde. Maar die siel wat dis eintlik wie jy is, dis jou gedagtes, jou denke, jou emosies, jou besluite wat jy neem. This is actually you, that you that people don't see. This is jou persoonlikheid. Dis eintlik jy. Okay? So the moment that God breathes on you, die oomblik sê dokter jou jy dan ontvang jy jou siel, ag jou siel wat binne in jou vleispaleis kom bly. Now this is important. If you die looking like that, you're going straight to hell. Al drag jy hierdie ou elke Sondag hier na die kerk toe. Al kom jy elke Sondag, al bak jy koeksisters vir die of pannekoek vir die kerkbazaar elke Sondag. Al bid jy 5 keer 'n dag. If you did not receive, and this is what Jesus actually said to Nicodemus. He said that you must be born again. You were born once, your body was born, and that's where you received your soul. But if you're not born again, if you did not receive my spirit inside of you, dan gaan jy kolestook vir die res van jou bestaan. And this reality is that your soul can never, ever, ever stop being in existence. Hy sal altyd en altyd en altyd voortbestaan, jou soul. Want dis hoe God jou gemaak het. Jou siel gaan die oomblik as jou vleispaleis oppak, gaan jou siel voor God staan. And now look at this. If God looks at the soul and he looks through his own Holy Spirit at you, then what he does is he says, come here, my son. Ek het jou naam op my handpalm. Inteendeel, daai versie sê, ons lees dit as ek het my naam in die handpalm. Actually, the Greek says, I have engraved a picture of you on both of my hands. God het tattoos met jou op, ou. The moment that you receive the Holy Spirit, you are born again and you can live. And then when your vleispaleis oppak, then you go stand in front of God and he look through you, through his Holy Spirit that you invited inside of you. And then he says, welcome, hier by my huis. Jou naam is in hierdie groot boek ingeskryf. Jou as 'n prentjie van jou op my hande gegraveer. Daar's 'n groot party in die hemel die dag toe jy jou lewe vir my gee. En sê die woord nie dat Jesus gaan om vir ons huise voor te berei so. So kry jou huis en gaan bly in jou huis. So this is actually what happens. Dankie julle kan gaan sit. Geef hulle 'n hande klap. Hulle was so awesome. So that is what happens in the in the spiritual realm. So guys, listen to this. You are not only physical. You are actually more spiritual than physical. Want jou siel is nie iets wat jy aan kan vat nie. Jou siel gaan altyd voortbestaan. Jou siel gaan either hemel toe of hel toe. But the moment that you invited the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you, you are born again. Jou liggaam is gebore, nou is jou siel, nou is jou gees gebore. En dis hoekom jou siel, Paulus sê, my siel staan in die middel, and the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, that I do. So your siel, nou soek so tussen die Afrikaans en Engels, your soul will always have to choose between listening to the spirit, or listening to the flesh. En ongelukkig is ons in sonde gebore, so jou vlees gaan altyd verkeerde kant toe neek. Het jy al ooit 'n pa gesien wat seentjie leer vloek? Never. Dit kom flippe vanself. Jy moet vir hulle leer wat die woord sê en wat God se hart is. En dit is wat ek vir julle wil sê, is when we pray, it is your physical body, your soul inside of you deciding to step into the spiritual world and to start speaking to someone that you don't always see and always hear and feel. But God teaches us to pray. Ons moet bid, dis so belangrik. And just as any other communication, there's different levels of communicating to God. Die slim ouens leer vir ons dat daar met kommunikasie, met enige vorm van kommunikasie, is daar die voordeur kommunikasie, met ander woorde, ding ding, hallo, ek is Pietie. Dis wat julle hier by die kerk doen vandag, baie mense het my gesê, hallo, ek is so en so. That is the first level of communication. Hallo, ek is so en so en so. Gaan dit met jou goed, dankie. Now, die hartseer ding is dat many, many, many Christians are stuck with that first level of communication with God. Met ander woorde is, wanneer ons met God begin praat, dan gooi ons daai shopping list. Pff. Hallo Here, dis ek Pietie. Ag Here, seën asseblief daai seën daai hond wat kleintjies gekry het. Bla 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 bla. So that is the first level. There's nothing wrong with that and it's powerful to pray. Because doesn't the word say you don't have because you don't ask? So ons moet vra, ons moet vir die Here, first level of communication. But guys, if you are only stepping in that first level of communication, you're missing out. Daar's soveel meer wat God vir jou wil leer, wat hy vir jou wil sê. The second level of communication, noem hulle die slim ouens sê hulle, dit is die sitkamer kommunikasie. Dis wanneer jy iemand innooi en sê, "Come and sit here. How are you? How are you feeling, man? Ek hoor dat hierdie slegte ding hierdie week gebeur. Jou baas het op jou geskree. Wat jou maatjie het jou op jou gevloek. Hoe voel jy daaroor? Ja, hoe voel jou hart daaroor? Is jy okay?" That's the second level of communication. So that is where we say to God, "God, I just want to share with you what happened to me this week. God, will you just listen to me in a moment?" Says, "God, you know what? My heart is seer. God, I'm lonely. God, I'm afraid of the stuff that happened." That is that second level of communication where God can get closer to your heart. En dis belangrik en dis was my so mooi vanoggend toe ek hoor Kobus van julle care groups. You know, in a care group, that is the second level of communication where you really can speak what is in your heart. But then that's that third communication, third level of communication. En ouens, dis die een waar ek so bietjie weer wil stilstaan vandag. Dis waar ek jou wil challenge. Om aan die derde vlak van die communicatie, en die slim ouens noem dit die slaapkamer communicatie. So dit kan nie verder as dit gaan nie. If you know what I mean. Vir die getroude mense. Is nie vir julle nie. Die slaapkamer communicatie is dat wanneer jy by iemand sit en iemand vir jou sê, tell me what is in your heart. Will you really share your heart with God? Dis daar waar jy kan sit en waar jy kan sê, Here, ek wil my binnengoed uitdop en ek wil met u praat. Die Engels mense noem het a fervent prayer. Dis wanneer ons fervently praat met iemand, en ek gaan vir julle nou sê, wat sê die woord, James 5:16, it speaks about a fervent prayer, and it says this, it's a fervent prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Een ander vertaling in NIV sê, the prayer of a godly person is powerful. Things happen because of that. Wanneer jy power is, as jy verwag, as jy die krag aansit, dan moet iets gebeur, is dit nie. So this is actually what happens, is when you fervently pray, things happens. En die Afrikaans sê dit eintlik baie mooi, sê, die vurige gebed van 'n regverdige het groot krag. Wat is die verskil tussen 'n gewone gebed en 'n vurige gebed? Ag Here, seën my asseblief vandag, en dankie vir alles, dankie vir die lek, seën Vader, seën kos, wat sê ander een wat hulle bid? Ja, seën Vader, seën sop, sê Kobus. Maar wanneer jy sê, Here, ek staan voor u vandag, en ons het daai een liedjie wat ons gesing het hier, wat sê, we are broken before God. Gracefully broken, dink ek, sê daai song. Gracefully broken. So when you stand in front of God, and you say, God, I'm gracefully broken. Ek is stikken. Here, my hart bloei. Here, ek het hierdie ding op my hart vandag, wat ek voor wil bid. So ek wil vir jou vra nou vandag. What is your impossible today? Every one of us have an impossible. What are you trusting God for? If it's not for you, isn't it perhaps then for your children or for your children's children? Isn't it perhaps for your neighbor? Isn't it perhaps for South Africa today? South Africa needs fervent prayers before God. We need to pray fervently, guys. Dis wat die krag is. Dis wat die krag is. So fervently prayers in the Bible, die daar's baie. Moses het die Red Sea. Here, as jy nie hierdie see nou oopmaak nie, Filistyn is op pad. Egiptenaars is op pad. Ons is klaar met ons. Abraham, toe hy vir Isak offer. Gideon, en ons het laas keer toe ek hier was daaroor gepraat. Gideon gaan na 'n fight toe, hy 30,000 mense. En hy gaan vind uit die army is 120,000 mense. Nou jong mense, ek weet nie wie van julle het wiskunde nie, maar dis klomp. Dit beteken elke ou, can you imagine, voor die fight sê, guys, every one of you, can you imagine our speech wat Gideon moet sê? Every one of you have to kill 4 guys, otherwise, ons is binne en ons dilitie in, byvoeglike naamwoorde. And then he stands in front of God, and God said, oh, okay, that's a good idea, but lose about 90% of your force. So hy sê, van die 30,000 wil ek hê, moet jy omtrent 300 oor hê. 300 oor hê. So, can you imagine that speech then? Say, okay guys, change of plan. Nou moet elke ou 400 ouens doodmaak. Going into a battle like that, one against 400, that causes you to pray a bit fervently, isn't it? Hart en diep, Here, as jy nie nou deurkom nie. Guys, that's the prayers, that's the where the power is. En die hartseer ding is net, ons vat nie tyd om daai goed voor God te gaan sit nie. Ons almal se, wel, baie van ons se gebede is 5 minute miskien. Na 5 minute is jy op uit stories uit, jy weet nie meer wat om vir God te sê nie. But I believe the key here is the Holy Spirit. If you pray through the Holy Spirit, the third you, dou ons is 3/3, hy mooi meisiekie, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit within you will guide you what to pray for. Daar's baie ander stories in die Bybel. In die Ou Testament en die Nuwe Testament van hoe God deurgekom het. Can you just imagine the woman with the issue of blood? Can you just imagine Jairus, he just lost his daughter? Isn't that a fervent prayer standing in front of God, asking Him? So what is a fervent prayer? The best example of a fervent prayer is Jesus' prayers. In Hebrews 5:7, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions. And petitions is amper 'n hele gesprek op sy eie. With fervent cries and tears, said the Bible. Jesus prayed with fervent cries and tears to God. To the one, and who did He pray for? And it says, yeah, who did He pray to? To the one who could save Him from death. Guys, if you pray, when you pray, do you just take a moment and just think about who are you praying to? You are praying to someone that existed long before us. The one that spoke you into existence. Actually, the one that spoke everything that your eyes can touch, He spoke into existence. The one that is, He specializes in miracles. That is the one you're praying to. Jesus prayed fervent prayers because He knew He was praying to someone that can make a change. In Greek it says, actually, fervent means in Greek, it says, I am boiling my heart, I burn in my spirit. Dis 'n mooi verduideliking, nê? Wanneer jy hierdie burning in jou spirit het vir wat jy moet bid voor. Julle sal weet as daar iemand is wat op 'n sterfbed lê. As daar ding met jou werk gebeur, jy hoor hulle gaan mense af lê. As daar 'n slegte ding gebeur of jy hoor van hierdie roemers en daai roemers, dan is dit daar kom 'n ding in jou gees, there's a burning thing in your spirit that I have to pray for. That is what fervent prayers is. Pray to for a real, specific, urgent, heartfelt need. So, as ek daai versie van Jesus moet letterlik change in die Grieks, sal dit sê, Jesus prayed to God with a boiling urgency and loud cries and tears, done with great heartfelt emotion. And that is the same prayers that Jesus prayed for me and for you. Nou, ek wil gou met julle praat oor 'n fervent prayer en dan maak dit 'n bietjie meer sin. Ek moes net eers vir julle verduidelik wat gebeur en hoe werk die spiritual realm en hoe werk ons liggame en wat gebeur wanneer ons bid. Maar ek wil nou vir julle 'n mooi example aanhaal en dit was die storie van Nehemia. So ek sal baie keer die voorbeeld gebruik en bid en sê, God, will you give me favor like the favor that you gave Nehemiah? So the favor of Nehemiah is because of a fervent prayer. En ons gaan dit nou lees, dis nou 'n lekker lang stukkie, maar ek gaan dit vir julle lees. En het begin in Nehemia 1, vanaf vers 1, en dan Nehemia 2, die eerste 9 verse. So, net 'n bietjie agtergrond, so wat gebeur het in daai tyd, is dat die Israeliete was ongehoorsaam teenoor God, soos wat ons gereeld gesien het in die Bybel. En toe die Persian king gekom, nou die Persian ryk was amper soos Hitler in sy dae, wat hy die German ryk gehad het, wat die wêreld begin oorvat het. Selfs met die Persians gebeur. En die Persians kom van Afghanistan, Iran, Irak, daai area af. So hulle het begin om die hele wêreld te verower, en omdat die Israeliete ongehoorsaam was teenoor God, het profeseë gesê, as julle ongehoorsaam is, gaan julle weer slawe word van ander mense. En in hierdie tyd het die Persian king, koning Astartes. En as julle die storie van Esther sal ken, die girls ken die storie van Esther, dit was die koning van Astartes by wie sy uitgekom het. So, sy seun het in die tyd van Nehemia. So wat gebeur het is Persian het gegaan en hulle het die hele ryk opgeneem. Wat hulle gedoen het is hulle sou nou tipies by 'n land kom en dan sal die land inval met duisende ter duisende van hulle soldate. En dan sal hulle al die mans doodmaak, al die soldate sal hulle doodmaak. Letterlik doodmaak. En dan sou hulle die vrouens gevat het, they will take the women, and they will take the children, and they will take them to their country, and then they will work as slaves. En baie keer by die kasteel, vir die koning gewerk, en as tuiniers, as bouers, of wat ook al, ingenieurs. In hierdie geval het Nehemia het opgeland as die koningse skinker. Belangrike job in hulle dae. So hoekom? Want in that days you didn't have snipers. So if you wanted to take someone out, you will put some poison in their drink. So to be om 'n skinker van die koning te wees was eintlik 'n belangrike job geweest. Okay. So die koning sal altyd sê, "Okay, vat jy eers 'n sluk en dan vat jy 'n sluk en dan check jy jou." Sê nee, okay, lei hierdie ou ryk right en dan sal hy en sy koning drink. Alright. So dit is wat gebeur het en Nehemia was toe nou in die tempel of in die kasteel gewerk vir die koning. So Nehemiah 1, it says, in the month of Kislev, that's December, November, December, in the 20th city, that in the 20th year that Artaxerxes, that was now Xerxes' son, Artaxerxes, was emperor of Persia, I, Nehemiah, was in Susa. Susa was dan die hoofstad, wat so in die suidweste van die land geleë is, the capital city. Hanani, one of my brothers, arrived from Judea, from Judah, that's now in Israel, with another group. And I asked about Jerusalem and about the Jews who had returned from exile in Babylonia. They told me that those who had survived and were back in the homeland were in great difficulty, and that the foreigners who lived nearby looked down on them. Onthou nou, hulle is nou oorgevat deur Persia. They also told me that the walls of Jerusalem were still broken down and that the gates had not been restored since the time it was burnt. So wat die ouens so gedoen het is wanneer hulle in 'n stad kom, enige fortress wat hulle sou kry. If they got to a fortress and there was the city and there was city walls, they would literally burn it down and break down the walls, and that is just to show their power. So dit beteken net dat nadat hulle weg is, die mense wat oor is, hulle sou byvoorbeeld die ou oomies en tannies byvoorbeeld in die stad gelos het. Okay, want wat gaan hulle met hulle doen? Okay, en hulle is nie 'n risikovelle nie, maar hulle sou die stadsmure en alles afgebreek het sodat hierdie ouens nie kan sien of kan weer opstaan en sodat daar geen fortress in hierdie land kan ontstaan nie. For several days, listen guys, listen to this. For several days I mourned and did not eat and I prayed to God. That's the key, guys. He prayed. Vir 'n paar dae het hy nie geëet nie, hy het gevas en hy het gebid. And this is actually what he prayed in verse 5. He said, Lord God of heaven. En ek wil hê terwyl ek hierdie lees, wil ek hê julle moet net so 'n bietjie dink aan jou eie situasie. What is your impossible? But I also want you to think about South Africa, where we are currently in South Africa. Lord God of heaven, you are great and we stand in fear of you. You faithfully keep your covenant with those who love you and do what you commanded. Look at me, Lord, and hear my prayer as I pray day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess that we, the people of Israel, have sinned. My ancestors and I have sinned. We have acted wickedly against you and have not done what you commanded. We have not kept the laws which you gave us through Moses, your servant. Remember now that you what you told Moses. Hier kom dit waar hy sê, Here, maar ek wil jou herinner aan my beloftes. Ek wil jou herinner aan die skrifte. 8000 waarvan jy praat, Kobus. Dis hulle daai. If your people, and this is one of the promises that God said, if your people of the people of Israel, perhaps I should say South Africa, are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among other nations. But then if you turn back to me and do what I have commanded you, I will bring you back to the place where I have chosen to be worshipped, even though you were scattered to the ends of the earth. Lord, these are your servants, your own people. You rescued them from your great power and strength. Listen now to my prayer and to the prayers of all the other servants who want to honor you. Here, luister na ons gebede vir ons land wat uitgaan. Give me success today and make the emperor merciful to me. In those days, I was the emperor's wine steward, cupbearer. Dan Nehemiah 2 says, one day, 4 months later, so hy het vir 4 maande lank het hy die Here gesoek. 4 maande. How big is your problems that you are trusting God for? Is it worth praying for 4 months? How big is the problems that we are suffering in South Africa, guys? How long have you been taken specifically praying for South Africa? Ek wil hê julle moet hierdie verstaan en dit is so naby aan my hart en ek het laas keer ook iets hieroor gesê. Is dat in toe die Israeliete uit Egipte uit is. Toe hulle uit Egipte is en dit wat gebeur het, het hulle die eerste ding wat hulle begin doen het, hulle begin moan, hulle begin kla. En as gevolg van hulle klagtes het hulle 40 jaar gebly in die woestyn. As gevolg van hulle klagtes was hulle stak in daai season wat hulle was. God hates it when we murmur. God haat dit wanneer ons kla. Weet jy, wanneer jy kla, is dit so goed soos jy vat geloof en jy sê geloof bestaan nie vir my nie. Ek praat vrees. Paulus sê, ek staan elke dag voor 'n keuse en is selfs met jou. Jy staan elke dag voor 'n keuse in jou land. Wanneer jy in 'n gesprek is by 'n braaivleisvuur, wanneer jy by die werk is, wanneer jy deur 'n pothol ry, staan jy voor 'n klagte. Jy kan kla en murmureer en moan en groan oor die goeie ou dae wat ons gehad het in Suid-Afrika, of jy kan sê God, I'm trusting you for a new South Africa. I'm trusting you for a breakthrough. God, in spite of, God, I trust you that you'll take us through this. We are scattered all over the world. But God, for you, nothing is impossible. If we confess, God will turn back to us. He will again bless our country. He will again bless our land. Next time you sit in front of a decision, to murmur, om te moan en te kla, of om geloof te gooi, gooi geloof. Ek kan vir jou nou sê, as jy in 'n groepie staan en die ouens begin moan, en jy sê net, God, I'm trusting God for a change. En dan zip jy, dan bly jy stil. Jy gaan sien die hele atmosfeer gaan change. Because what you happened is, you took that negative poison there, and you put a drippelkie, geloof, oops, in that. En een druppel geloof change die hele flippe negatieve ding. Een druppelkie. So this is what happened. So Nehemiah came in front of the king and he said, one day, 4 months later, when the emperor Artaxerxes was dining, I took the wine to him. He had never seen me look so sad before. Ons gaan nou net daaroor praat. So he asked, why are you looking so sad? Aren't you sick? So you're not sick, so it must be that you're unhappy. En dit doen jy nie voor 'n koning nie. I was startled. Ek was geskok. Ek was soos in 'n boom. Skok jy in my gees. And I answered, may your majesty live forever. How can I keep from looking sad when the city where my ancestors were buried is in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the emperor asked, what is it that you want? And guys, hierso is dit my mooiste gedeelte van hierdie hele stukkie. Daai versie wat nou kom. I prayed to the God of heaven. So, hy het vir 4 maande gebid, die Here getrust, Here asseblief gee vir my guns, Here asseblief gee vir my guns, Here asseblief gee vir my guns. En hier staan hy die dag dikbek voor die koning wat 'n fout is, maar die koning sê vir hom, "Hoekom is jy dikbek? Jy's so siekie." So as jy unhappy, wat gaan dit aan? En hy sê, "Wat wil jy hê?" En hy sê, "Koning." En hy doen eers 'n skiet gebedjie. Want hy weet dis nou of sy kop gaan waai of God gaan vir hom guns gee. Ouens, ons staan baie keer voor daai keuse in ons lewe wat ons moet sê, Here, of is nou, ek gee alles. Ons het dit gesing vanmôre. Ek staan voor U, ek gee alles. En hier staan hy en hy doen hy skiet gebedjie en ek kan net imagine hy skiet gebedjie het so gegaan. Here, asseblief, kom nou vir my deur. Want dit wat ek nou doen is new ground. Dit wat ek nou doen is unheard of. Dit wat ek nou doen is wat niemand doen nie. Ek swem nou soos die vis wat teen die stroom opswem. Here, ek doen nou iets wat heeltemal buite my karakter is. I'm stepping into faith, into the spirit at this moment. As jy nie nou deurkom nie, is dit verby met my. So this is what happened. He said, if your majesty pleased with me and is willing to grant my request, let me go to the land of Judah, to the city where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild the city. En ek gaan dit nou nie verder lees nie, maar die emperor het vir hom baie, 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 baie guns gegee. Hy het vir hom gegee wat hy gevra. So what was Nehemiah's impossible? Wat was die ding wat hy voor God voor moes gestaan het, verwendly, vuriglik gebid het en gevra het? Hy het gestaan as 'n jong man, wat gewerk het as 'n slaaf in hierdie ou se kasteel, maar sy mense, daar waar hy vandaan kom, daar waar hy gebore is, was in ruins. Jy kan dink as 'n stadmuur afgebreek is, dan stap enige ou sommer op jou voordeur in en hy vat net wat hy wil hê. But instead of putting alarms and electric fences, he prayed to God. He said, God, Here sal U ingryp. Here sal U ingryp. So sy impossible was his birthdays, which he loved so much, and the people that he loved so much was in ruins, and they suffered because of the king's orders to break it down, destroy his enemies. So wat was sy petisie? Here, sal U laat die koning aandoe wat hy gedoen het? Jesus, ouens, dis 'n groot ene. Wat is jou ding waarvoor jy God trust? What is that one thing or two things or five things that you're trusting God? What is impossible for you? What is your impossible? Just think about that for a moment. What is the one or two things? Wie is dit wat jy al jare voor bid, wat jy sê, Here, ek bid vir hierdie persoon om gered te word? Is dit jou werksituasie? Is dit dalk jy dat jy gefire kan word? Is dit dalk iemand wat jy sukkel om te vergewe, 'n verhouding wat skibreek gelei het? Is dit dalk iets, is dit dalk finansieel? Sukkel jy dalk finansieel dat jy sê, God, this is my one thing that I want to petition, that I want to trust, that I fervently want to pray about for you to come through. What is your impossible? And I know through the Holy Spirit this morning, the Holy Spirit will reveal this to you, because that's what he does. Dis wat hy in goed is. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will reveal everything to us. So he's the one standing between us, but the physical realm and the spiritual realm, because he comes and he stays inside of me. The Bible says, I will reveal all things to you. The Old Testament, it says that whether you go, when you have to turn left or right, I will be the voice behind you, says the Old Testament, to tell you to go left or to right. The New Testament, I am the voice inside of you. Inside of you. Just open up your ears. Just tune in your spirit to the frequency of my Holy Spirit. I want to reveal to you marvelous, great, wonderful things. Actually, the word says, I want to show to you what is to come. Ek wil vir jou wys what is to come. That is my heart, says God. Just ask me. What is your impossible this morning? What is your impossible? So Nehemiah had a strategy. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed. Before you talk to God, to people about God, always talk to God about people. If you want to raise it where you're working, as jy bang as jy gaan jou werk verloor, if you koopsmanne hier tussen julle, when you go to sell something, talk to God about that person before you talk to that person about your business. Because God specializes in that. He prayed. He prayed. He talked to God. Hy het geweet, as hy met God praat, God luister. He fervently prayed, says the word. So hier is ons se vier dinge wat hy gedoen het. Vir die ouens wat notas maak. En dit is my strategie, dis amazing. Hier was sy strategie. First thing that he did, dit is he praised. Wat Jesus nie ook gesê het toe die disipels sê, Here, leer ons om te bid. Toe sê hy, ons Vader wat in die hemel is. Actually het hy nie die woord Vader, hy het die woord Papa gebruik. Oorspronklik vertaal is Vader maak jou ver van iemand af. Papa sit jou by iemand. So hy sê, let me teach you how to pray. Our Papa that is in heaven. So he praised. In verse 5 it says, you are great and we stand in fear of you. Sê die woord nie vir ons in Psalm 146. Blessed are those who depend on God of Jacob. Blessed are those who put their hope in the Lord their God. Ek wil vir jou sê, blessed are you when you ask God for something. Because that shows your determination. That shows your dependence on God. Dis die eerste ding wat hy gedoen het. Die tweede ding wat hy gedoen het, is he reminded. Kobus, dankie vir daai. Dit was so amazing. He reminded God of what God said. And the Bible says, it says here in Isaiah 43:26, it says, remind me. Let us plead. Dan sê hy, let us plead. Dit praat van die Heilige Gees, bid binne in jou. Dan sê hy, remind me of my promises. Dan sê hy, hoor hierso Kobus, wat sê hy? Nee, hy sê, let us plead and argue your case together. Kan jy met God, jy kan met God bietjie stry. You can from say, God, this is why I'm asking you. God, because you love me. God, because you gave me these promises. God, you said my children will go to heaven one day. You said I will give you these children. This is a gift from me. God, they cannot go into the world. I plead before you, God. I plead before you for them. This is what I could do. He reminded God of his promises. The third thing it is, he praised first, he reminded God, and then he confessed. Owens, if you want to stand in front of God with clean hands, you have to confess. The Holy Spirit will reveal everything to you. So die oomblik as jy gaan sit voor God, daar's 'n skrif wat sê, we enter into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. But before you, die courts waarvan hy praat was daai tyd in die tempel. Die tempelkoorts, jy kon nie daar ingaan as jy nie skoon hande gehad, as jy nie jou sonde bely het. So he confessed. This boy. Ouens, and you know what you can confess for someone else? Hy het confess vir sy ouers wat gesondig het teen God. En vir homself wat gesondig het teen God. Is dit nie tyd dat ons Suid-Afrikaners voor God gaan staan en gaan confess dinge wat gebeur het van die ou dae nie? Ouens, ek kan vir julle ou dae van die ou dae vertel. Ek dink hier is oomies wat vir my baie, baie meer kan vertel. Maar ek het goed gesien en gedoen. Waar ek voor God moes gaan bely en gaan huil voor God en gesê, Here, ek is sorry oor daai stupid goed wat ek was geïndoktrineer deur 'n stelsel wat my geïndoktrineer het. Guys, we have to confess. Wat is die een ding wat jy God voortrou? What is your impossible? What is this stuff that you're trusting God for? Isn't it one confession that stands between you and reality and the truth and the breakthrough? One confession perhaps. So he confessed. And then the fourth thing he did is then he requested. Only then he requested. Nadat hy geprys het, nadat hy gereminded het, nadat hy geconfessed het, then he asked God. So ek wil net vir julle gou vertel, wat is die omvang van dit wat Nehemia reg gekry het. The things that he prayed for and how magnificent it was, how amazing God came through for him. So the first thing is that in that days you're not allowed to stand in front of a king without a smile. I'll fake it till you make it. But you were not allowed. So jy mag nooit dik weg voor die koning gewees het nie. Die koning sou jy eenvoudig net daai sou net gesê job. Kop af. Ek het baie ouens gehad wat sy werk kon doen. So you were never allowed to stand in front of a king with a dik back. Dit was taboe. Hy het gedoen en het dit reg gekry. Die tweede ding wat significant is van hierdie storie is dat hy het gesê let me go in verse 4. Hy het gesê asseblief, wat is dit wat jy wil hê? Ag, wil nie my asseblief los nie. Imagine jy sê vir jou baas. Baas, jy wil nie vir my bietjie verlof gee nie asseblief man. Ek weet ek is op 0.111 dag, maar asseblief, hoe lyk dit? En in hierdie geval het the king said to him, "All right, so how long will it take you?" And he said, 12 years." Imagine jy gaan jou baas toe en jy sê gee my 12 jaar verlof. It took him 12 years to do what he did. 12 years. Isn't that magnificent? Is dit nie amazing wat die Here gedoen het nie? En dan die volgende ding is dat wanneer 'n koning 'n order gegee het, nou sy pa Xerxes was 'n baie baie rowwe koning. So sy koning het die stad afgebreek. Nou wat hulle gedoen het is in that times that when the king said something they would write it down on a scroll and it was like a law. En jy sal sien partykeer het die konings gesê, het hulle gesê gaan haal vir my 'n bietjie scrolls van my oupa se oupa. Dat ek net bietjie sien wat het hy daar besluit sodat ek nie teen hom staan nie. So what happened is that he had to go against what this king's dad wanted. And hy moes gaan undo. So he had to undo a law that his dad put in place. Kan jy imagine? Vat nou in vandag se dae. Rusland het nou Oekraïne ingeval. En die suidelike deel van die Oekraïne is die Krimnia. Ek was daar, dit was 'n absolute amazing story. Maar in die Krimnia het Rusland nou oorgevat. So die Krimnia wat 'n deel van die Oekraïne was, is nou 'n deel van Rusland. Okay. Nou kan jy imagine, hier stap Oekraïne daarin. Sê, "Waar gaan jy?" Sê, "Nee, ek gaan my stad regmaak wat julle tikkend gebom het daar in Oekraïne." "Wat gaan jy daar maak?" "Nee, ek gaan my Oekraïne vlaggie daar insit." In tussen die Russe in. Kan jy imagine, it's unheard of. Dit kan nie wees nie. So wat gaan jy doen? Nee, hier is die briewe van die koning af. Hier het Putin gesê, ek mag my stad gaan regmaak daar. En ek mag my vlaggie daar opsit. En ek mag my fortress gaan bou. It's unheard of. Die ouens, dis die grootste wonderwerk in hierdie dag wat hy reg gekry het. Om dit te kan doen. So, hy het die stad gaan herbou. Hy het briewe gekry van die governor, wat hy aan die governors kan gee. Hy het timber gekry, so al die hout het die koning vir hom gegee om te doen. En aan die bonus, wat hy nie eens voor gevra het nie, die koning het gesê, ek sal vir jou hele legioen weermag ouens gee om jou te beskerm. So kan jy imagine hoe voel hy ouens. Hulle moet hierdie Jood wie se plek hulle afgebreek het, wat hulle stikkend geskiet het, wat hulle moet hulle beskerm. En hy het briewe en hy gaan herbou. So God, this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we serve. So what is your impossible today? What is your impossible today? Ek wil hê jy moet jou oë toemaak en as jy vir ons bietjie musiek nou kan opsit. Ons gaan nou land. Ek wil hê jy met jou oë toemaak. Just close your eyes. And I want you to think about your impossible this morning. And you know what? To pray fervently is intentional. It's an intentional decision that you make. So there's a difference between a normal prayer and a fervent prayer. A fervent prayer, daai brandende begeerte in jou, daai kragtige gebed voor God. And I want you to know that God is looking right into your spirit this morning. The word says that he knows you better than you know yourself. But although he knows you better, he wants you to bring your petitions before him. He wants you to ask, what is that one thing, what is your impossible this morning? Ek wil hê jy moet, net soos wat jy daar sit, dink net hoe jy dit voor God nou bring op jou hande. Net vir hom sê, Here, hier is my impossible. Here, hier is my een of twee of vyf dinge vanmôre. I know by this time the Holy Spirit revealed this to you. Here, en ek bring dit nou so voor my. En ons gaan nou bid soos Nehemia gebid het. Ek gaan sommer naam met jou bid. First of all, we're going to praise God. God, you are great. We stand in fear of you. Lord, your word says in Proverbs 10:9 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, your word says that blessed are those who depend on God. Blessed are those who put their hope in God. And this morning, I want to put my hope before you. I want to put, Father, this impossible of mine, I want to bring it. And I want to show this impossible how great and big my God is. I want to show this problem how big my God is. I praise you. And then, God, I want to remind you of your blessings. Lord, your word says that I am your most precious possession. Your word says that, Here, dat ek baie meer werd is as die mossies. Here, die woord sê dat ek is tot alles in staat, die Christus wat my die krag gee. Your word says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Lord, I am the apple of your eye. I want to remind you of the promises that I had for my children, for myself, for my life. And this morning, I just want to remind you. I want to remind you of those promises because you said, remind me. You said, remind me. Sit it voor my, nou kan ons bietjie daaroor praat. Ons kan bietjie daaroor stry. So ek bring my impossible vanmôre voor u. Sê, Here, u is groter as my impossible. En Here, nou wil ek bely dit wat tussen my en u staan. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you in this moment, what is that one or two things that you have to confess this morning? Bring het voor u vanmôre. Here, vergewe my. Die woord sê, al was ek skarlakenrooi, u sal my wit maak soos vol. Your word says, Father, that you will forgive me. Your word says actually that you don't only forgive, but you forget. And this morning, I want to bring my sin before you. And now, God, now that I've done this fervent prayer, I want to ask you, will you make my impossible possible? Will you bring this impossible, this problem, this challenge, this sickness? I bring it before you, God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Some people are trusting you for favor with other people. You are the one that gives favor, not people. Give them the favor of Nehemiah, Lord. Lord, I know that there are people praying for their loved ones. Lord, we call them into the kingdom of God. Your word says that the God of this world, met 'n klein lettertjie, die vyand, die duivel, druk hulle ore en hulle oë toe. And therefore we pray now in the name of Jesus that you will open up ears and eyes so that they can hear the truth. Use me to speak to them. Use me to speak to them. Lord, I know there are people trusting you for finances this morning. Lord, doesn't the word say that all good things comes from God? Here, en daarom kan ons maar probeer so hard as ons wil om mense te impress of om sisteme of besighede te skep, but all good things come from you. And therefore this morning I pray, Father, this one thing that I'm trusting you for this breakthrough, hierdie transaksie wat daar op iemand se tafel lê. Lord, you are the one that gives favor. You are the one that makes all things possible. Ek bid vir hulle wat vandag 'n siekte in hulle liggaam het. Lord, you are bigger than any sickness. The name above all names says Jesus Christ is King. Ek bring my siekte voor die Here. Petisie dit voor U. Here, ek bid, kom maak my, raak my aan in 'n oomblik. In 'n oomblik kom raak my aan. Maak my gesond. As jy medisyne wil gebruik, is dit fyn. Die woord sê partykeer plak jy pleisters op en ander keer maak jy gesond. En as jy pleisters opplak deur medisyne, is dit fyn. then I submit to that part, Lord, but I trust you for your healing. I trust you for your healing. And Lord, as we are praying now, I want to corporately ask you to come through for our country. The word says in 1 Timothy 2, it says, I urge that petitions, prayers and requests and thanksgiving be offered to God for all people, for kings and all others who are in authority, that they may live, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life. Lord, I want to pray corporately this morning with this congregation that you will come through for South Africa. Our impossible, Lord, is that we don't have any hope. There's niks wat ons meer kan na kyk. Nie een van die sisteme werk meer nie, jy weet dit. But Lord, you are the one that specializes in miracles. In you is all things, all things, all things. And God, we petition this. Ons roep uit na u vanmôre, Here. Here, hier daar staan dat Paulus het geskryf het en gesê dat ons in vrede kan lewe in ons land. Moet ons bid vir ons leiers. Father, we pray and petition you. Give us godly leaders. Here, met hierdie verkiesing wat voor lê, give us godly leaders, Lord. Father, we pray and petition before you, Father, that we can live peace. That our children and their children will live in peace in this country. Here, ons gee nie om wat se kleur of hoe hulle lyk of ry nie. What's a vlag hulle rondswaai nie. As long as they say Jesus Christ is King. As long as they stand in integrity. As long as they bow their knee. As long as they say the people first, God first. Then we will serve them, God. We will pray for them as you demand us in your words do. We petition you today. Come through for South Africa. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And we all say, Amen. Julle is 'n awesome bunch. Ek weet ek het julle lank besig gehou. If someone needs special prayer, please come forward and I will just pray for you. My wife's just got a word for someone.
I just want to be faithful to the voice of God. I have a word for a man. You sit here and you came to church this morning and you say, I don't have enough energy to pray for myself. I hear what John say, but I don't have this. I just go through the motions. And the Lord gives you John 17 this morning. There's three, in John 17, there's three phases. Jesus is praying for himself. He's praying for the disciples and he's praying for us. Jesus is praying for you if you cannot pray for yourself. In Isaiah 41 verse 10, there is a promise that is something that's so dear to my heart. When we don't have enough strength, God keeps us upright. There is so many different versions. Some say he keeps us standing. Other one, he holds us tight. It keeps you upright. So don't try to do it in your own strength. Even if you just go to Jesus and you just lie at his feet, he's fighting for you. Thank you.
Hello, Yella. So do you guys want to guess what we're doing now? Pray for South Africa. We've been doing it for a couple of weeks, and apparently I don't need my turn because Jean-Baptiste, we shared notes. My question is, why are we praying for South Africa? Why? I mean, I love this country. I love this people. I think we are the most resourceful a country in the world. If only God can steer us. We want to see South Africa turn around. But do we want to see that for our own benefit? Gaan dit oor ekke? Moet dit gaan oor ekke? Is it because we deserve it? Because ons is God se gunsteling. Jesus always said he went back to the motives of our hearts. And John read 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, 2, 3, 4-ish. I'm going to read until 6. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. All people means almal, ne? Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, almal, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Sort of lacking in South Africa at the moment, right? This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. It's not about us. God wil ons almal in sy familie hê, wat ons kerk se vision is, right? For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, and the man is Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. So we would like to see a turn in South Africa to glorify God, because only God can bring that change anyways. We want to see a change in South Africa so that people can come into his family and not be lost. And then I thought about, but are we hungry enough? We have our own solutions. Ons is besig om van die grid af te gaan. Ons plant ons eie groentekies. We're our own answered prayers, aren't we? Nee? Are we desperate enough? Are we fighting like it's our job? Are we fighting like our lives depend on it? There's another piece of scripture that is also very familiar. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of darkness in this world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But then, we don't always read verse 18, and that's part of it. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. If you're not sure, if you need some guidance, today was a very good teaching we received about praying. Dis nie moeilik nie, mense. Are we desperate enough? Do we have that relationship? There's also a sermon series on the website, Prayer, Fasting, and Hearing God's Voice. Luister dit. Get started. Get hungry. Fight for it. Get up. Today also at 2:00, people are getting together, praying specifically for the elections. 2:00 today. Today is a national day of prayer for the elections. Did you know that? I also found out this morning. Wow, awesome, ne? Die Here is besig. And then also there's a prayer and fasting time from May 19th to 9th of June. We'll put that on the group. So, please, stand up and fight. Let's fight. And let's fight for God to be glorified in this country. Will you pray with me, please? Lord God, we ask for an awakening of the Christians, of your children in this country. We pray for an awakening of warriors, Lord God. Prayer warriors standing up in faith, ready to fight for you, Lord God, ready to fight this fight that we are in, Father God. We are praying for healing in South Africa. Father, we need a lot of healing in South Africa. Father, we pray that the strongholds of unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness, resentment, and anger to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. And we trust you for that, Lord God. Father, we also pray for peaceful elections, for fair elections. And we pray that your spirit will move in this country like we have never seen before. Those fervent prayers, right? Thy desperate prayers. We pray for that, Lord God. We thank you that you have a plan and a purpose and that we are never alone. We thank you that you are our safe refuge. We thank you that we do not have to fight this fight alone, but we stand with you and we stand in you and you go before us, Lord God. And we know that the battle belongs to you, Lord God. And we thank you for that in this morning. Amen. Is there anyone else that would like specifically to pray for South Africa? For South Africa.
Father God, I come to you and I pray for our president, Cyril Ramaphosa. Please, please consider what you're doing. Bend your knees. Come to Jesus. Please lead the country. You were chosen by God. So please think when you do what you do. Amen.
Anyone else? Ek weet van jou. Anyone else?
Guys, I'm not going to pray, but I'm going to do something else. I've got the privilege, being part of CMA, to call up a very young, dark-headed gentleman who's actually going to be receiving his half colors. Dries, don't you want to come up, please, sir? Terry and H, would you also please come up? Young dude, eh?
Yes.
You see, he's a young dude, this. Dries, it gives me great honor. You've, in the time that you've been visiting with us as a prospect, you've showed your mettle, you've showed your heart, you've showed that you are a true man of God, and it's a proud moment to give you colors. I pray that this journey